My guests tonight are Hao Pan. Hi Hao, and welcome back.
Hi everyone, thanks. It's good to be back.
Adam Heinermann, hi.
Hello.
And the last minute guest, and the reason for the last minuteness of the guest will be revealed shortly, Hannes Bradberg. Hey Hannes.
Hey, what's up? It's nice to be back.
So some topics I would like to go over. First, for the audience, the warm-up topics. I'd like to ask how, what did you improve on your bot lately? Did you add anything new since the last tournaments?
For build order strategy wise, I only added a the so-called BBSB, the barracks supply barracks early game rush strategy, inspired by Zalazane or Veliko Random, because he had some success with this strategy against some of the I wouldn't say top, but at least somewhat decent Protoss opponents. So I added that, and worked a little bit on the Marine Micro. But that's all to it. The new stuff. Besides that, I updated my bot so it can use BWAPI 4.4.0 right now. The update process wasn't as bad as I expected, because I'm just bad at updating stuff and setting things. For example, a C Docker. But yeah, it was smooth, and I'm happy it's working right now. At least I voted a game versus the Lacutus on SSCAIT, and it worked fine, although I lost. So that's all that is. I think for my main bot, I've also been busy for the AITT tournament. I hope I can have something ready.
Yeah, we eagerly await the AITT results. The allotted space is really not that much. And speaking of BWAPI 4.4, it seems to me that a lot of bot authors did make the switch, and it was really seamless. So it is a good version, and so far no bugs have been found. Or am I missing that?
Well, as far as I'm going to answer this, because I believe this was directed at me, but I haven't heard about any bugs. So far, so good, I guess.
That's awesome news. And BWAPI related news. Last week, we found out that Nightcat is on the team that develops BWAPI 5. So it is actively coming, and we are rejoiced by that fact. But Adam, you are also somewhat, you also have some insight into the project, right?
I've been helping out. Thing about someone else actively contributing to the project is now I feel obligated to take a bit more time and contribute my own. So BrutoAPI 5 is coming along now. We're just kind of getting over the initial hurdle of getting the new project setup working, and then we'll move into kind of the major architectural changes that we planned for it.
Any of those public?
So the original design that I wrote is public. There's also a roadmap, which I didn't really share, but I can share that too. And all the commits on the BrutoAPI 5 branch are public.
Yeah, or you can just explain that in the cast right now. I think we are very curious what's in stock for Broodwar API.
Yeah, so one of the big changes for bot owners to know about is the classes you interact with. They're no longer pointers, but values backed by an ID and a reference. And this is going to be the new interface going forward. There is backwards compatibility there because we overloaded the kind of arrow operator. Right now we're trying to get a working bot with that new sort of interface. The biggest issues are translating the old data to the new interface. It's not necessarily any changes in the bot. And that's what we're currently working on, and hope to finish that within the next week or so, and then move on to the protobuf interface. So the kind of network interaction is the next step.
Can we get any kind of broader timeline on the project? Do you have any guess or knowledge when this is planned to be complete and released?
I can't really say right now. Maybe in a couple weeks I'll be able to pin that down better, but right now Nightcat is still getting familiar with the project and warming up, so we'll have a better sense of velocity maybe in a couple of weeks or so.
Still, we can feel it coming already. Is there any new features that will be added? Something that we couldn't do before?
One of the main things, I think, is that as we have removed all of the globals from BW API entirely, you will be able to connect and run multiple instances of your bot from the same process, and you can connect to many different Broodwar instances from the same bot client, which just makes scaling your bot up a lot easier.
I think it's already possible because I have Fresh Meat and my bot Haopan, but essentially they use the same DLL, and I tried to connect them via the Chaos Launcher, and things are working fine, so I'm not sure, why would you remove the globals or what kind of problems there are when I try to connect to two of the same bots right now.
That's not a problem. You can run two instances of the same bot without an issue today, but what we've added is running two instances of the same bot from the same process.
Gotcha.
I must admit, I don't know the code base that well for this to make any meaningful sense for me, but I guess it's good news.
And like if, and also, to be honest, BW API should be deterministic too at this point, so you should be able to pretty much store your the BW API state and reload it, and you should be able to basically replicate game states, which is good for error debugging and whatever else.
That is actually awesome news, because this was a great problem, And I think we touched on the subject that it would be great to restore game state and not just the replay itself, but the stats of the units and everything else. And being the game being deterministic is actually a problem in esports as well. I just recently read an article about it. It was about the League of Legends engineer team's struggles with this. They have an engineering blog at Riot Games. It's very interesting from a developer perspective. So even if you don't like League of Legends, I'm sure you do, but even if you don't, it's really good, and they touched these kind of problems. They talked about technical depths and how to classify it, and among other things, this problem, how to pause a game and roll it back to a state. And they did that, so they can even pause and roll back a live game if a bug is detected. And you can imagine in an esport tournament where there are major prizes, it can be a real advantage.
Yeah, sure. I was just about to say that that's really important for bot developers too. If you have a kind of crashing bug and you like have a single game out of hundreds of thousands where it happens, it would be perfect to be able to reload that game and instantly see where things go wrong and capture it in your debugger or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, basically you have to do code scene investigation every time and just hope to get the same bug. And you have no chance to do that in SSCIT ladder. Speaking of that, did you have any really hard bugs to track down in your bots? I'm really curious because even though my bot is very basic, I had some beach bugs.
Oh yeah, to be honest, I think that happens to everyone. You always have some kind of iterator invalidation bug where you miss to assign something to something else. And yeah, it's a mess. Even my bot has bugs, to me, if I gotta be honest. But I kind of think I've managed a good coding style to minimize them as much as possible. But yeah, I get bugs too.
I was hoping for some war story and example about that.
I don't really have that bad of an example, to be honest. They mostly have been like, oh, it crashes like in this game in like 1 in 1,000 games, and I look at the code based on the addresses, and I just like, yeah, that's this code. I'm missing a double equal sign. I'm doing equals instead of double equals here, and yeah, I haven't had any critical like nightmare tier bugs so far in my bot.
Yeah, so I was going to say I've been recently working on fixing a bug where my bot, I think it was trying to access the info of the enemy, for example, the building and the unit. But then a crash could happen when the opponent abruptly exited the game because it thought, maybe I'm going to lose the game. Yeah, so I've talked to talked about this with Hannes, and yeah, it was related to my deconstructors not being ordered properly, and this bug is also very nasty because it only happens maybe I would say 1 out of 20 games, and when I'm winning and the opponent still has some stuff left, and then the opponent left the game regardless. Or let's say it only happens once per 2 days on Basel. So so it has been giving me the headache right now. I'm working on a media band-aid solution to that, but I think the ultimate solution would take much more time. But yeah, so that's my story. And I think the same problem happened to Iron as well. I've heard people talking about it crash on on game end or when it's winning, when the opponent try to exit the game, similar situation. So yeah, that's something, unfortunately, I have to fix. Otherwise, losing to, for example, especially low-ranked opponents would drop my ALO very, very hard. That's my story.
Yeah, just like finding out that it is that your opponent's leaving early to cause you to crash is kind of hard. And I remember that was kind of an annoying process for us. So I was like, yeah, you're crashing on game and we got to take a look at the destructors. And then it's like, yeah, okay, this is triggering in the wrong order. And like, this is trying to access a destructed object. And like, yeah, everything is horrible. I hate those kind of bugs, but they do happen.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is my life.
Imagine if your bot playing the shitty flute crashed the other bot.
Oh yeah, I would never have a bug like that and totally never not bother to fix it.
Understand the bug. Okay, so moving on from bugs, the next big great topic is a favorite of mine, and for the last few episodes we were munching over it. It's the popularity of this scene, the Brood War AI scene, and Brood War in general. And the reason I'm bringing this up again is because the Pylon Show, which is a considerably more popular and better known show, just did a episode on Brood War itself. And it was interesting. I don't know if you listened to it. There were a lot of great things said. And basically the conclusion was people thought this was a dead game 20 years ago and 10 years ago and 5 years ago. And it seems to be on the upswing yet again. And of course, maybe Brood War Remastered is behind that. But hey, Brood War is just a great game and it will never die. The first thing is that it's amazing that new bugs or exploits are still being discovered. Two of them were mentioned. The first is not that interesting, it's just instantly attack with a vulture after laying a mine. I mean, that's marginal benefit, but I think we can code that very easily. I think it was stopping the vulture right after the mine is laid. Just issuing stop command. I don't know. Perhaps have you implemented something like that, or did you notice that already?
I don't know anything about it, but I think I've seen people use it. But I know no details about it.
Right, I'm not aware of it either.
Yeah, it's just a marginal thing. And the other is more interesting. Is you can apparently morph hallucinated Templars and get free archons potentially. And on the Discord, some people try to reproduce this. So far without success, but I believe in us.
So according to the material I've seen on that, I haven't tried it myself, but supposedly there are a bunch of conditions that you need to meet. For example, just merging two hallucinated High Templar will produce a hallucinated Archon, which, you know, eventually disappears. And merging a non-hallucinated High Templar with a hallucinated High Templar is more likely to produce a hallucinated Archon because of the way the hallucination status is chosen, and the positioning in the unit array of the hallucinated High Templar. I think you need to hallucinate the High Templar and then train a new High Templar so that it comes after, and then merge those two.
I think if humans can do it, then eventually we will figure out how to do this for a bot. And
About that, I'm 99% sure it's not going to be doable in BW API, just because BW API will check if you're trying to merge with the hallucination and just stop the command before sending it to StarCraft. So BW API will probably stop you from doing it in a bot.
Yes, it definitely will. There are hallucination checks on bots. The only way you can do it as a human is to use what I've referred to in the past as the selection glitch. So you can have a unit selected on your screen, but be controlling a different set of units. So you basically trick StarCraft into believing you have, from the UI perspective, a certain unit selected, but you're actually controlling a different set of units. And that way you can have two real High Templars selected to get the Merge Archon icon, but in reality you're controlling the hallucinated High Templar with a real High Templar, and that lets you use the Merge Archon action on those other units.
Kind of similar to the whole lurker technique. Although that's not a glitch, technically.
Yeah.
So, do you use any tricks in your bot that maybe not no other bots use, and it's considered non-standard? Nukes, that does not count.
I don't have a bot, so if anyone else can answer that.
I really don't know of anything in that kind of...
If mirror walk counts, but I don't think it's it's known and it's permitted by SSC AIT, and it's only for worker defense. That's all I can think.
Yeah, and it's also a known thing, so it's nothing new. But still, it's nice to see it implemented. So, speaking about Brood War, I was thinking about what makes Brood War interesting, or more specifically, what makes watching a Brood War game interesting. And that is a question that applies to human and bot games as well. For human games, it's the inherent property of it that two humans are facing off and they won't be stuck in a corner or something like that. But we have kind of struggled with this, how to get interesting games, how to sort out the games to select the interesting ones. What do you think about this? How do you get interesting games from your bots, if you do that at all?
Well, I mean, for me, it's all about the build order, the having a diversity of build orders. And in this way, I think the game, the matches are interesting, are starting to become interesting to me. My bot can do, Bunker Rush or BBS or 14cc or the regular iron, well, similar to iron strategy, the two-fag pressure. So it's an array of strategies, and I'll leave the I'll leave the burden of reaction to the opponent. I mean, let them decide how to react. Sometimes if they don't react properly, then well, they die and I enjoy the victory. But sometimes my build order sometimes can mess up. For example, Bunker Rush is not very good against the 9 pool because the opponent can just just outmuscle you by, just pumping straight Zerglings to deal with your Marines and your bunker. And this can lose to even some of the low-ranked bots. So that's That brings me that brings to another topic, how to react even within the same build order. Say if you observe a 9 pool, do you continue bunker rush or do you, you know, transition to factory or Mac units? Yeah, that's kind of thing that that make the game interesting to me.
Yeah, I like watching people when they do creative things, new kinds of micro, new kinds of build orders, which you talked about, and just generally interesting. Yeah, it's so hard because there's just so many things I just find interesting, which doesn't mean a lot to someone who doesn't understand, so doesn't watch the game. And like, what can I say? It's interesting to see games played in new ways that you haven't thought about before.
I think that's a good summary. And Nepeta makes a good job of narrating games that are interesting and narrating games that are not interesting as well.
Yeah, so I was thinking about a game between the human player and the Velikorentum. You know, there are matches arranged between a human player and the AIST winner. And there is one game out of the four games happened. I think the human player, he's using a Terran, and I think his army was tiny, only had a, you know, couple of vultures, maybe one or two, but the opponent had maybe, I would say, at least three or four juggernauts. So in a head-on battle, the vulture will just lose, right? It just does not have the firepower, the health to withstand. But the human player, he strategically laid down the mines at near the choke point and some of the important spots as an emergency measure. And because at that point, I thought the human player was just going to be losing, or just because the difference between the armies is so big. But it was the reactions, the decision making that made that game very, very interesting to me.
It's funny how vultures have become one of the most valuable units. And when I was starting to play StarCraft, they were considered basically useless. Maybe it can be summarized as if it's not a done deal, then a game is interesting. If you have the doubt who will win this, and not just because of glitches. Maybe. Also, it seemed to me that people have a lot of misconceptions about StarCraft AI or Brood War AI in general. And not just talking about Dan Grant, who is not called that, but they have absolutely no idea what's going on, and just saw Alpha Star maybe, and try to deduce things from that. And for example, in the pilot show, they mentioned that all these bots have 30,000 APM and no human can ever compete with them. And I don't see a direct relation between the APM of a bot and the success of it. If anything, you might have an inverse relationship to that. What do you think?
Well, I mean, this is the game is not determined. The outcome of the game is not solely determined by the APM. It's not that if you achieve 50,000, then you win. It's not like that. It's also about the decision making, as I mentioned earlier, and the build order as well, and some other things. And those things are not determined by, or not affected by APM, if not at all, maybe. So yeah. It's not, APM is not the whole thing. That's all I want to say.
What about the earlier thing that people and their misconceptions about Brood War AI? I mean, you must have encountered people asking you what are you doing on this, and they are just not getting it. Do you have any stories related to that?
well, I mean, I don't have a concrete story, but some of my friends, they don't even know this game well, the StarCraft game. So I have to explain to them what this game is like. It's about you building some structures, and then you develop army, and then you fight the opponent. And then talk about the bot. What does a bot mean in this game? Oh, it's a bot that can essentially, play the game. It can control the units. It can decide what to train, what to build, etc. So, but I guess it's not really about misconceptions. It's just people, they were not very familiar with the brutal AI scene.
Yeah, and buzzwords like machine learning and deep learning gets thrown around a lot. And people have absolutely no idea what are those, and they just think that, oh, a bot can learn, then it can learn anything, and they will beat everyone, and that's unfair. I mean, that seems to be the general understanding of bots. And I would like to do something with that, and somehow give some exposure about this scene, and maybe dispel the misconceptions about this whole thing.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who basically say things about AI and programming who don't do AI and programming, and that's always the way it's going to be.
Yeah, some level it will be, but let's just focus on the well-meaning people who just honestly don't have any idea and speculate wildly. Speaking of that, I'd like to talk about the grand plan of mine, which is, I mentioned it in the last cast, to have some seamless way for humans to play against bots. And that is the reason I asked Hannes to join, basically last minute, because we got to thinking about this. And I'm certainly sure that this can be done. Let me outline the plan a little. So the concept is, you have a server somewhere that stores the bots, and you have a client, basically a launcher. You can just start up, select a bot and the map, press play, and there you have it. You're in the game, and you can test yourself against various bots. The main aim of this is convenience for the average gamer to be able to play any Brood War bot. And yeah, we got to thinking, and we decided let's talk about even the nitty-gritty technical details about this on the cast. So with that, Hannes, you were excited to dive headfirst into this project, and thank you for that. Would you like to outline your plans for this?
Oh boy, well, it would be kind of technical, I guess.
That's the goal.
Yeah, so the primary plan would be to, like, you start up StarCraft after setting up your game, of course, in your client, and then this your StarCraft client connects to the bot server, which then identifies you as use in some way, and the bot server will somehow present the game to you, and you can join it. So it will basically be a custom gateway, like how you select Battle.net or whatever else in your multiplayer list.
Maybe I'm running a little bit ahead. Let's ask the other guests, what do you think of this project?
I don't think man versus machine interests me as much as machine versus machine, simply because they're different entities. And eventually, in the future, the machines are, of course, going to be humans. Maybe not right now, but eventually it's going to be the case. I guess the man versus machine stuff is just to demonstrate that. But I don't think there will be, you know, regular man versus machine tournaments, if that makes sense.
Maybe not, but I think this will bring some popularity to Brood War AI development.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, for me, I'm not sure about the purpose of such league. But if there were to be such a league, I would hope it's a league designed to measure the strength of each bot against you know, different human players. I mean, the underlying concept is, well, the purpose for me to have such a league is that I would like to find out what exactly is the weakness of my bot or certain bot by playing games against human players. For me right now, there's little to no, you know, incentive to have a very competitive league where the bot and the human, they just compete with each other and fight for the top title. I don't think there's any point because the difference between the bot and the human is still very, very huge. But yeah, I mean, back to my point, I would hope for such a league where I can measure or I can improve the bot's gameplay by having a bot, you know, play against human players and observe from the lost games. Yeah, I mean, mostly the games that they lose to the human players. Sometimes maybe even from the games they win, but I don't think that's probably the case. So in this way, you can stimulate the AI development further.
The purpose of this league, well, let's not call it league just yet. It's basically just a ladder. It's twofold. For developers, is simple. Can you make a good enough AI that it beats human players or a vast majority of human players? And for gamers, which would be the larger audience, it's a challenge. Can you take on the best AIs? Can you just defeat every one of them, or just the best of them? And it would be a great tool to practice. This has been mentioned by other players, but I think it's an important point. If you want to practice for pro play, you have to play humans. There is no other way currently. And playing online games for years, that can be an exhausting experience. If you just go to a game to practice something and you lose and you have to suffer from the immeasurable saltiness of other players, it just drains your will after a while. At least that's my personal experience. So it could be a good practice tool. Imagine trying to beat Locutus in Goon Micro. Maybe you just don't want to play against humans. I mean, back when StarCraft came out, I immensely enjoyed the campaign. It wasn't a great challenge, it was just something I like to play because it was fun. It was just enough to keep me thinking, and yeah, it was the challenge level I wanted to do. So don't underestimate people wanting to play against a non-human opponent.
With the technical explanation? Sure, I think it's a very interesting idea to like be able to allow people to fight bots easier, because now it's kind of a hassle to set up, and not having to run the bot locally, that is, someone else handles hosting the bot for you, I think that's a very good first step, because there's a lot of things you have to set up, the directories and everything. Even though Drop Launcher does make it a lot easier, it's still a little bit difficult for non-technical people.
I would like to also issue a call to arms. I'm accepting any kind of help on this project, but I will eventually get it together somehow. First, most importantly, it needs a good name, and I haven't been able to figure one out yet. If it's up to me, I will name it the stupidest thing that I possibly can.
You have to make sure that that it's something really stupid when you the acronym for it.
Like FAP?
Yes, exactly.
The Computer Herter League does sound nice, no? The first thing is for the client launcher, it should be just a standalone application. Like I said, you select your bot, select your map, press play, and you're playing the bot. I think that's not the hard part here, but it needs to be done well because it's the first thing that the player sees.
Mm-hmm. So Heinemann, correct me if I'm wrong. I forked DirectIP, the SMP project from BWAPI, and I'm thinking about adjusting it to basically talk to a central server to like initialize the game and start playing against it. Because it would only need to see a single game, so it wouldn't be that complicated. Is it reasonable to use the DirectIP project to like make this client connection?
You mean to like host games and connect to a specific server? Then yeah, that sounds pretty reasonable. The DirectIP project is pretty much the closest you're going to get to being able to create any network interface for StarCraft, at least 1.16.1.
Yeah, so they would be able, they could, to be honest, be able to host their own games, like they could host their own games and the bot could join them automatically. So they didn't select the map in the launcher, but they selected it in-game where they have all of their multiplayer maps that they have or whatever.
Yeah, that's just a small detail where you actually select it, I think. The hard part is wiring it all together over the internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also for this challenge, I think the bots should be vetted more carefully. I would like to have the opportunity for everyone to upload his or her bot, but I wouldn't like to have bots that crash often. So maybe like a testing period on Bazel or SSCIT is needed before that. Then maybe it gets automatically uploaded. That can be done as well. And when we have the basics down, we have the launcher, you can do that. Then we can build everything else on top of that. And things like scoreboards, achievements, whatever the kids into nowadays. And that would be the actual part where I would like to publicize it, when you have some basic incentive to play this. I can see this being a somewhat commercial project as well. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Thank you very much for being here, and I hope I will see you again.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.